Hey everyone, hey, welcome into this episode of the Art Wonk Podcast. Yeah, that's our theme music, and that music should be enough to tell those of you who are regular listeners, welcome back, that this is episode 43, another episode in our little mini interview series, Tales from Collab. I really have enjoyed these interviews, and especially going back over them and doing the editing and getting to re-listen to the wonderful ideas and just generally all of the neat little gems of information and knowledge that have been shared by artists at the collaboration. Collaboration, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, is a biannual event in the Whangarei Heads, north of Auckland, and it's something that is quite magical. So Paul is a wood sculptor. He's actually one of those people who can turn his hand to anything, but predominantly is wood at the moment. And I sat down with Paul Olson to talk about his journey through, you know, his making experience. Now, Paul is a very quietly spoken gentleman. He wraps himself in an air of calmness, which translates to others beautifully, like he brings everyone in. And I think it's nice in an environment like a collaboration where you've got a lot of ego, a lot of energy, a lot of passion, all buzzing around, to have somebody who has this ability to sort of bring just a little extra depth of breath into the room so that people do take that moment. And it was a real joy to sit and talk with him, learn a bit about his journey. We all have stories, and his is really quite lovely. He was very lucky when he was younger. He got a chance to spend time with some of New Zealand's greats within the art community and just be. You know, no expectations as a young man, just help, clean, listen, watch, learn. And he brings that mana, that sense of authority with him now. As a journeyman artist, he's exploring his own ideas. He's finding his own identity. I think he's found it, to be honest with you. It's quite extraordinary what he makes. And he plays with wood, but he plays from an intellectual end. He really explores ideas. How to paint a line in space using timber. I mean, just the starting point. What a great way to go about thinking of something. And then he uses the timber in a way that's totally sympathetic to the wood. He obviously has empathy and love for the material. But he has the skill to be able to tease these ideas forward. So, as you might have already noticed, I'm a fan. I'm always a fan of people who are passionate, who are knowledgeable, who are articulate, and who are able to express their ideas both verbally and through their work. And he's ticked all those boxes. But he's also just a bloody nice guy. And it's really cool to spend time with people who make you feel good. And he really did make me feel good. So this episode, number 43, is all really Paul's story. And we touch on all sorts of things, but really just how collab has affected him. And a little bit of wisdom, which I think he definitely is one of those people that has wisdoms, not just thoughts. A little bit of wisdom about sort of how he engages with what he does. So welcome on in. Enough of me. Let's get on with Paul. Hey everyone, back again. So at the moment, I've managed to get Paul out of the workshop. G'day, how's it going, mate?
Yeah, it's going good, Neville. It's going really good.
So can you give your people your name so they can search you out on Instagram, etc.?
Paul Olson, O-L-S-O-N, Olson Art Studio, all one word. You can find me on most stuff or just the old Facebook, Crackbook, I'm all over it.
Oh, good on you. Mm. Yeah, I find that the social media takes a lot of work though, eh? Are you good at that?
I've been really careful. So basically with my Facebook, I post 100% art and nothing personal at all, and it works really, really well.
Yeah, they know what they're going to get from you.
They know what they're going to get. There's no jokes. It's just all art, and it's all my friends' art, and it's all collab art and all the art that I can possibly get my hands on.
I follow you and I enjoy it. What's your medium of choice? You know, what's your soul medium?
My medium of choice, I guess, would be native New Zealand woods. Yeah, at the moment, for the while, I do love or there's something alive about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's dynamic. It's bloody hell, you got to work with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm used to stone and steel. I can abuse those things and they tolerate that, but wood doesn't. If you don't have the feeling, it won't give you the love back.
That's exactly right, and every bit of wood is so different, and it's there's so many colours, and it's just you just never know what you're going to get inside of a bit of wood sometimes. Especially the New Zealand natives, we've got like the best carving, sculpting timbers in the world.
What would be your favourite?
Top two would be Tōtara and Kauri. Kauri for its gold, and it has this gold glitter that no other woods really have. It's like a jewellery. It's like a jewellery, especially when it's highly polished and you get the lightning grain that you see in Kauri and it just ripples.
Yeah.
Oh, stunning, stunning.
And so how did you end up at Collab? This is not your first rodeo, is it? How many have you done now?
This is my second rodeo. I'm not exactly too sure how I ended up here. I knew a lot of the Collab artists professionally and privately as friends.
Yeah.
And there was one little exhibition that we're having in Whangarei. I was passing through town and they asked me to throw a couple of things in. So I made a couple of things while I was up here, up at the quarry, put them into the little gallery show. And Steve and Andrea just happened to pass through the gallery show and see my little work. Andrea was like, oh, that'd be good at Collab. I think, I'm pretty sure that that's how it started, in a gallery, and next minute I'm at Collab.
From there. So it kind of blows my mind, you're talking jewellery and I'm watching you do, what is it, a 4 metre long or 3 metre, you know, it's a good sized piece.
It's huge.
Yeah, that's not a jewellery piece, and yet the same aesthetic, it would shrink beautifully. So I guess that rule of good design will span both sides. Yeah. Where's your happy place, the small or the large?
My happy place is the incredibly anal.
Okay, he's into detail.
The very, very fine detail. You see it repeated so often in life. There's some very natural reoccurring patterns that you see all the time. The path of least resistance. So quantum physics 101 stuff. But everything in nature runs on those exact same lines. The fork of a tree, the water as it runs behind a rock, the lightning strike, the patterns of thoughts through your brain, the way that the universe physically looks. It's exactly the same repeating patterns of strength of life, stuff that's real.
And so you're trying to mimic, capture, relate to, reflect? What brings you into that? Because it's kind of a big thing when it exists so beautifully so often. How do you do honour to that without making yourself, you know, that's a challenge. It's a big one.
Yeah, it is, and especially making something very simple and natural. I really don't know. I don't have the answer for that. But it's something that I'm willing to strive for the rest of my life, to try and figure that out. I know the very liquidy patterns look stunning against some very symmetrical shapes or very hard edges. So if you stick a very hard edge next to a water pattern, there's something stunning there. It's sort of importing the human into that natural, I don't know, but there's something there about the stop start, the forcing of materials, the being gentle with materials. I don't know. I
kind of like that you don't know, because if you had it all answered, there wouldn't be a journey to go exploring into. So
that's
right.
Yeah. It's the mystery of it and seeing what will come out. And like, I really don't want to know all the answers, but I know I'm keen to look at least.
We were chatting the other night about the way that you'd found your way into art. I don't know that you found your way into art. Art was obviously in you because it's coming out. But how does that lovely journey that you've had where there's been great mentors and opportunity, does it give you some extra help in navigating Collab? You know, the ability to listen, you know, is there anything there that's helped you along the way?
Living as an artist since really, really young, and having a chance to hang with these beautiful artists and in the backs of their caves and the backs of their sheds and their dusty places that they never come out of, and hanging with these old people and just sweeping their floors and watching them work, you that there is a way to work with an artist.
Yes.
There is a way, and it's an unspoken way, and generally there's a lead in the dance. So if somebody's going to take the lead in the dance, you're going to follow.
Yeah.
And there comes a time where they're quite willing to let you take the lead in the dance and just see where that happens. You can't force it. You can't go in with great expectations. It'd be like the ninjas and be like water.
Just react
and roll with it and figure it out and make it a win-win situation somehow.
So that mindfulness, that actually being in the moment, is something that works really well in collab for a lot of people. Like, opportunities are fleeting as they sort of pass by you, and it's like you get some, you miss some. How have you found your way in this time? Has it been a good journey, or has it been a bit laboured? What's your space like?
Collab this time was quite different for me. Last time I was up with the Woodies, and there was a newbie last time, so I took on a reasonable amount of workload. I already knew that I needed to be achievable, whatever I did take on. But this time I wasn't in the thick of the Woodies. I was down the bottom with the bros, and we had a bit of space, and I didn't have such a workload. So I had this space and I didn't have the workload. So I'm just going to go find the biggest bit of timber on the property.
It's a massive piece, isn't it?
Yeah, and found the biggest bit of timber on the property and spent some time with it and loved it and just seeing what was going on. And that gave me a chance to really sort of not rush it, just to be gentle with that piece a bit. Because I've been trying to mimic natural lines, and it's impossible, but you can do it justice if you just take your time.
Yeah, and that's something that's quite tricky here sometimes. You can get whipped into the whirlwind and time is taken from you. It's been really quite a pleasure to watch the way that whole space, you guys have got this nice vibe there. It's productive, but it's not frenzied, and that's not always the same in some of the other spaces.
It's not always collab, that's exactly right.
So there was a comment you made when we were chatting about your awareness of how this piece would look on stage at the auction. So, you know, you had an idea, obviously, somewhere in there. I'm not suggesting you were making it for that, but there's this awareness of things go on after collab, which I think, you know, it's, people tend to get into this bubble and forget that there's actually another stage and then life comes back again. Is that something that you do naturally, the thinking through that extra part, or is that just a comment?
No, it's important to, when you get that vision of your piece, you know, it might not be completely finished inside your head, but you can get a gist of what you're trying to go for. You get a feeling, a path to take that's going to lead you to that journey. So with that piece, I knew it was going to be big, and it was going to be substantial, but I still wanted it to be gentle and whispery, and seeing it on top of the stage where the whole audience would get the best possible view of it.
Yeah.
Because the objective for that piece is for Collab to sell it to make money so we can do more collabs. So me seeing it on top of the stage gave it the best chance to get the best sale for Collab. So that was the objective.
And that's, I mean, it's honourable that you've thought through about the big group, but it's really quite lucky that you also have the skills to pull it off, because I've seen a few things over the years that forced the situation because people went big, so it needed the space, but didn't necessarily have, I mean, this piece is stunning. It really has got some magic about it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, we're all looking at it thinking, oh, shite, how am I going to keep up with that? You know, it's not that it's competition, but a little nudge every now and again to bring your game up when you're getting a little lazy is a good thing. So what do you hope to get out of collab going forward? Do you want to do more? Is this something that's good for you?
I love it.
Yeah.
I come up a week before and I'll stay for the cleanup as well and just do as much as I can to help. The whole Collab family and the community.
Where's
the
home base?
About 45 minutes southeast of Auckland, a little coastal town called Kaiowa.
Oh, nice spot down there.
And stunning.
So, you know, obviously you're away from home, you're easy to get at tools and things. Is there anything within the mix of stuff that you think, yeah, bugger, I should have bought, or you're just going to work with what you got?
No, because I brought my symposium pack. So I'm a regular on the New Zealand Sculptural Symposium Circuit. So I have a symposium pack of tools which will do 95% of the stuff that I choose to do with it.
Have you got a favourite tool?
Grinder with an Arbitech blade.
My grinder is my favourite. But I got this weird little, it was actually an antique cobbler's hammer, and I don't know what it is. One, it's kind of upside down. It looks wrong because of just the way it was made. But the weight in it is just gorgeous for doing fine chasing and little works. And I was lucky enough when I was in collaboration in Canada that two of the artists stole it from me, and then they made two smaller replicas, a perfect replicas, right down to the tape and the age of the wood, the way they did it. And they kept swapping my hammers around, so I'd pick it up and it would be it looked right but felt wrong, just too light, too small.
Yeah.
I've got both the little ones at home, but that hammer, I think anything else they can take, but not that one.
There's something special about that little magic tool. Was like when I first started as an artist, it was all hand tools. So it was all mallets and chisels, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I particularly collected 100-year-old chisels, 100-year-old plus chisels, because I can rely on the quality of the steel.
Yeah.
The steel with the chisels nowadays, it's all a composite metal and it's mixed down and it doesn't hold an edge for very long. But any of the old steel holds an edge for ages, for a long, long time. And in that collection, I've got a little whittling knife, and it's just got this stunning little, perfect little angle on this very sharp, very thick piece of steel. But that little knife, you can do everything with, like everything.
Yeah, sometimes they can feel like an extension of your body.
It's just incredible.
So obviously the wood's drawing you in. If you got a chance to travel anywhere and do anything in terms of the art, is there a goal that you'd like to have a crack at?
Yeah, I would like to carry on with the I'd love to get an invitation to do the collabs.
Yeah.
Get to Hawaii, get to Canada and do some of the big ones and just expand those collab networks. Because I'm a very big networking artist. For me, those networks are integral.
Well, that's our second family. It's also often the information highway you need for survival if you're going to try and do this for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so. Because
did you get to meet Benoit? Is he?
Benoit's a really good friend.
Yeah.
I loved Benoit. He's
incredible.
So cool.
And his touch with wood is different from anyone else I've met. So, you know, somebody from France comes down and all of a sudden you realise, hey, you know, we speak different languages, we live in different places, but in our inner core we're quite similar. That's something that I've found collab gives you that I haven't actually ever struck anywhere else. I don't know how to find that in the normal world.
Benoit's a genius. He's like the texture guru. I mean, just watching him lay texture on large pieces of wood was just stunning. Exactly like you said, like I've got an opportunity to go spend some time in Benoit's studio.
Oh, wow.
I've got an opportunity to head over to Hawaii and, you know, go sweep the floors of Thai Lakes carpentry.
Another man with the most enormous heart. I mean, he's such a generous person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go see the mall, catch up with Bojack Key and go say hello to Miley and just strengthen those networks. It's everything for me, that the art family and those art networks. It's hard to explain how integral they are. It's not just my survival, it's my family. It's my family, and I found my family a long time ago, so the more that I can do for my family, the better it is for me.
Yeah, well, you've definitely thrown a full 100% behind this effort, so, you know, thank you for that on behalf of the rest of us. I've been asking everyone, if there's anyone listening that you would like to talk to in terms of, have you any advice if they're considering collab or if they maybe been a while ago, not had the perfect experience and are thinking maybe I'll go back? Anything you want to throw out there?
Take on achievable amounts of work that you can finish to a high enough standard that you are happy with them.
Yeah, I mean, really, the only way to ruin it is to not look after yourself, I guess, really, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a be really easy to overcomplicate something and take too long on something and, you know, have a half a dozen things that you need to do and end up being a big rush. But if you can, if you know your own limitations and you know, okay, I can do this in X amount of time, then give yourself that amount of time to do it. Don't try and rush it. Do the best that you possibly can on that one piece and then move on to the next one.
Oh, that's cool. Hey, look, thanks for giving us the time. Happy making, and we'll catch up again, eh?
Thank you, Neville.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, hey, there you have it. That was Paul and my chat. Really want to thank him for his time. Again, I've mentioned this many times over the episodes. You know, these are people who are busy in the middle of quite substantial projects, and to take the time out to stop and chat with me, just to have that quiet moment, is not easy to achieve, and it often came at quite substantial cost to the individuals. You know, having to get back into their rhythm, find their tools, and you know that people have moved into their areas. So, Paul, thank you very much for taking the time. Now, you know, can you guys do me a favor? You know, it's that part of the show where you plead. First of all, those who are still here, thank you for sticking it out. But if you could please share the podcast with people, let them know that we're out there. We're on all of the major platforms. I don't really mind which one you subscribe to, but it would be really neat if you could actually hit the subscribe button so that you get the updates. But it tells the algorithms that people are interested in what we're doing. So that was it. That was this episode of The Art Wonk. I've been Neville. Have fun making, and I'll catch up with you soon. Take care.